Good morning, everyone. Thank you, Pastor Harvey, for inviting me to be a part of NBF 2016. Let's open our Bibles, please, in Proverbs 21 and verse 1. Proverbs 21 and verse 1. Let's all stand, please, to give honor to the Word of God. Proverbs 21, verse 1. The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. As the rivers of water, he turneth it whithersoever he will. Let us pray. Most precious Heavenly Father, we praise you and thank you, Lord, for this opportunity that we can open our Bibles and we can learn from it. And Lord, we pray that you will speak to us this morning. And we pray, Lord, that you lead us, Lord. And we pray that it might meet the needs of everyone. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated, please. The theme of this NBF is always abounding in the work of the Lord. Now, it's so easy to always abound in the work of the Lord when everything's going your way, right? And when you have a good attendance, and when you have your programs are all going great, and when you are on the black, not on the red. When you have everything going your way, and it's so easy to always abound in the work of the Lord. But what if it is not? Are we going to still abound in the work of the Lord? Now here in Proverbs 21:1, the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord as the rivers of water. He turneth it whithersoever he will. Now this morning I'm going to preach to you God's sovereignty in our suffering. God's sovereignty in our suffering. I want us to think about God's sovereignty and our suffering. And there are those who quickly disclaim God as a sovereign or total rule because there is much suffering in the world he supposedly controls. Most would quickly agree that God is sovereign over nature. Just last week, we know that there's a great storm here in South Australia, and almost completely the state is in blackout, and there's a flooding in the north, and some other countries there are earthquakes, some floodings, and tsunami. So we quickly agree that God is sovereign over nature, but not as quick to relinquish total control to God over humans. After all, are we not free moral agents to choose as we wish? Now, God's sovereignty over men. So the question in the midst of God's sovereignty and our suffering is God in control? Is God in control? Or is He in control part of the time or all the time? Does He really control the affairs of men? Here in Proverbs 21:1, the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord, as the rivers of water, He turneth it whithersoever He will. The last part, He turneth it whithersoever He will. So from this verse, we learn that from the strongest to the weakest, God has a controlling power over all, whether we recognize it or not. All must move before His sovereign influence. I'll give you an example. In the Old Testament, in Exodus 34, verses 23 to 24, the Bible says, "Thrice in the year shall all your men children appear before the Lord God, the God of Israel. For I will cast out the nations before thee, enlarge thy borders. Neither shall any man desire thy land, when thou shalt go up to appear before the Lord thy God thrice in the year." Now, think for a moment that if all the men of the nation went before the Lord, that would mean all the nation's defenses were down, right? And no one would be guarding against enemy attacks. They would be in a vulnerable situation. But God, in His sovereignty, promised that no enemy will even desire them in the times of coming before the Lord. Now, this paints a beautiful picture of we can trust God in His sovereignty over our lives. We can trust Him even in the face of adversity, of great times of suffering. We have heard from Pastor Sam the life of Joseph. He suffered, but God is in control. Now, in Genesis 15:19-20, the Bible says, "And Joseph said unto them, Fear not, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive." Now, Joseph's brother acted on their own choosing. They, like us, were pre-moral agents to choose and to do. However, as we will see, God chose in His sovereignty to bless Joseph in his hardship. So from these scriptures, we can gain a perspective on God's sovereignty. God's sovereignty can restrain evil, but He does not always choose to do so. Second, God's sovereignty works out His plan even in when we choose differently. Three, God's sovereignty doesn't mean we will not experience pain and suffering. Then last, God's sovereignty does make a difference in everyday life. Now, some of you, you know probably what happened to me. But some of you, perhaps this is your first time to see me. Even first time, who's that Chinese guy? Now, I'm not a Chinese. I'm a Filipino. I'm a Filipino missionary here in Australia. I came here in 1997. And on April 2017, we are going to celebrate our 20th year as a church. And you're all invited. But in 2006, I had a meningitis, bacterial meningitis, and I was brought to the hospital dying. And because of the meningitis, because of the fluid in the brain, I had a stroke. And that's why I'm weak in the right side. And the doctor said that said to my wife, "I'm sorry, but there's no hope. They've given up." I stayed in the hospital for 6 months straight. But God preserved me. God preserved me. When I was in the hospital, I can't even talk. I cannot even pray. I lost my memory. I have to recite all over again the Roman road. And so I studied again Romans 3:10, Romans 3:23, Romans 6:23, Romans 5:8, Romans 10:9-10, so that when the doctors, nurses, and therapists will come, I can witness to them. And besides, that's the way of I can practice my speech. Because I lost my capability to talk. But right now, as I said, I lost my memory, I lost my speech, but now I gain my speech and no one can stop me from talking. Now, God's sovereignty working in our behalf. God's sovereignty working in our behalf. Now, do we understand? Understanding, can we? Or at least trying to understand that God is sovereign in the affairs of men will help us in our time of need. Turn with me in Romans 8:28, which is a very familiar verse. But before that, in 2006, when I got this meningitis. In 2005, my daughter, Rachel, my eldest daughter, had a brain tumor. She had two surgeries and rounds of chemo, rounds of radiotherapy, and there was time that she was confined in second floor and I'm confined in fourth floor of the same hospital. But in these trials, we've been drawn closer to the Lord. In Romans 8:28 says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. We know. Today we like to appear full of knowledge and we catch ourselves saying the foolish words, I knew that. I knew that. Especially the young people. When you talk to them, oh, I knew that. But in the midst of suffering, can we say, we know God is at work. Many want to know God only on an experiential level. The experiences of life teach about God. And as true as that may be, we are all have the tendency to lend the experiential knowledge to the good times. When the bad times hit, we often go about wondering, where is God? Where is God? We need to know God by way of his word, as well as through our experiences. Which says, my experiences had better line up with God's word. Colonel Howard Routledge, writes in his book, In the Presence of Mine Enemies, that the greatest thing that kept him strong in a Korean prisoner of war camp was the bits and pieces of scripture from God's word he had learned as a child. In Isaiah 51:11, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth, it shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I send it. We know. All things work together for good. We can quickly dismiss the idea that all things are good. Those who dismiss God as sovereign point a blaming finger at God for allowing bad things to happen. However, we must reconcile the fact that because God is sovereign, he is involved in all things concerning our lives. He is all-knowing as well as being all-involved. And because he is involved in all things, he desires to work good in our lives. He desires to work good in our lives. Just like Joseph. In Genesis 50, verse 20, but as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good. Philippians chapter 2, verses 13 to 16, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure, do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Countless stories could be told of a good God worked in the lives of those who found themselves in times of suffering. You know, there is never a time when we can say that God is not both good and doing good. When God allows events that may be evil in themselves to come upon us, that is not the end of the matter. That is not the end of the matter, but the beginning. But the beginning. I thought that's the end of me. Last June, we celebrated my 10th year. Borrowed time, given by God. For 18 years, we are renting a school hall. But last year, the Lord gave us a church building. We bought a warehouse and renovated it. Now it's functioning well. I went there before 6 o'clock because the tradies are all working. I go home at 10 o'clock in the evening, because the men of the church will go after work and do some work. For 6-7 months, I'm there in my wheelchair. In 2009, I was diagnosed with leukemia. And my immune system is very low. But because of, you know, I'm exposed to dirt and to the elements. But when I had my blood test during the period that we are renovating, that is the best blood test I ever had. That is the best. Amen. To those who love God, the question is, do you love God? Do you love God? Do you love God enough to trust Him as sovereign over your life? Do you love God enough to be able to say, I don't understand, but I trust Him because I know He desires good in my life? Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. Verses 1 to 5. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. That is salvation. That is salvation. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. We glory in tribulations. We glory in tribulations. Too often, the knee-jerk reaction is, I quit. I quit. Isn't it? When everything's going wrong, say, I quit. But in times of suffering, we must continue to love God by doing what He says to do. Amen. To those who love God, they will abound with a heart full of assurance. In Hebrews 6:11, and we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Called according to His purpose. With God being sovereign, it declares He has a plan of purposes. We have to look no further than the cross. Purpose in the cross. God's sovereign purpose to be reconciled to man is discovered in the midst of Christ's suffering. God chose and Jesus willed at that moment on the cross to fulfill the sovereign plan of God and allow the complete purposes of suffering to hold sway. In Acts chapter 2, verse 23, Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and the foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. The purpose of the cross and the purpose in calling. The purpose in calling. Ephesians 1:11, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9, who had saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which has given us in Jesus Christ before the world began. God, having given us an inheritance through Christ Jesus, will also see us through the times of sufferings in our lives. When somebody asks us, How are you today? What will your answer be? Good. How are you today? Good. Seen it? You know, we better answer them by the grace of God. By the grace of God. It's only by the grace of God that I'm still alive. Then the purpose of purpose. In Job 42, verse 1 and 2, then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from thee. I will declare now, I do not and cannot always understand the purposes of God, but because his word assures me of his sovereignty, I can trust and love him. I can trust and love him. God's sovereignty ought to make a difference in our lives, especially in our times of sufferings. One more time, let me give you God's word to be stored away for a time of uncertainty. Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. Verse 31. The Lord Jesus Christ speaking here. Fear ye not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. Fear ye not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. So we can claim 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Why? Because he is sovereign. He is sovereign. So, you know, I remember during wedding vows, in sickness and in health. For richer, for poorer. Till death will be always abounding in the work of the Lord. As much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we praise you and thank you, Lord, for the richness of your word. Thank you, Lord, for reminding us of your sovereignty over our lives. Lord, I pray that you will continue to bless us. Lord, bless these meetings. In Christ's name, amen.